Director Zimmer?
Present.
Director Cody?
Here.
Director Gibson?
Here.
And Chairperson Hosky?
Present. Okay, we'll move on to board member comments. Does anybody have any overarching comments?
Large philosophical issues? Anything like that? No.
As long as you stay within 3 minutes, yes.
I think one comment is the execution of the recycled water agreements between the county and the agencies.
Yeah.
I think that's worth noting that about 2 years' worth of work, and we've finally been able to execute those agreements. So I think that's a big step forward in the recycle program and the community and being able to one step closer to serve recycled water in the community. I don't know if you want to expand on that, Supervisor Gibson.
It slipped my mind. So it's been a while, and a new year starts. But no, that's
good news, and we look forward to a number of things flowing out from that.
Right.
We're moving forward. So we'll see this summer if we might be able to pump some water on the right places. Be cool.
Sounds good.
Anything else? Okay, seeing none, then we'll move to the consent agenda. Does anybody want to pull an item?
Mr. Chair, I do have one comment on one item when you're ready for a motion on that.
Yeah. Does anybody want to pull an item? Okay, anybody have any questions on the consent?
I just have a comment on the minutes and an update. I don't know if it's the same one you have, Rob, or not, but clarification between a conversation, your name versus mine on the second page of the minutes. Under 7B, third paragraph or fourth paragraph down, it has Director Zimmer, and it should be Director Miller, and then Mr. Miller, and then the fifth paragraph should be Director Zimmer.
Wonderful.
So the comments are correct, just the names got reversed.
We will make that correction and post that to the web like last time. Thank you.
Any other? Okay. Any public comments on the consent agenda? Okay. And close public comment. Bring it back for a motion.
Mr. Chair, prior to the motion, we have one correction on the financial information. The categorization of Cleith's invoice, the county pointed out that we had it categorized to the monitoring well, and that was in error. It should have been categorized to the annual monitoring. So we've made that correction at the staff level, and if you could include that in the motion, we'll get that cleaned up for the final posted version.
Okay.
So moved as amended.
Any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, I'll take a all in favor.
Aye.
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 Okay, so the minutes or the consent agenda is approved as amended. Okay, Rob, we'll move on to the Executive Director's report.
I'll just make a few brief comments on my written report to first highlight our grant opportunities. We are continuing to pursue the various grants, including the Creek Discharge Project under IRWM and the Urban Stormwater Recovery Project, which is also the subject of one of your budget discussions that's coming up later in the agenda. And so continue to track those efforts, and we do have some grant pursuit dollars in our budget for 2019 to track and turn in applications when those become relevant. We do have an update that we received from the county on the basin boundary modification request that we provided in the written report, and I'll just highlight for the audience a couple of key dates for those of you who are following that issue. On the 16th of January, and I haven't had a chance to see whether this was posted yet, the DWR was scheduled to present the draft recommendations and public comments for further discussion in February and then finally in April and May to reprioritize the various basins. I've provided the web links as part of the staff notes for those of you who are tracking that so you can follow along with what the state is doing on those boundary modification requests. There isn't a lot of activity on the wastewater project front. We had a few additional connections that occurred since our last meeting. but for the most part, they're on to the, I guess you could say, code enforcement process with respect to unconnected laterals. So we do have a number of properties, approximately looks like 61 as of this writing, that have not yet connected. So we're almost there, and a number of properties will be wrapped up as part of code enforcement over the coming months. Water conservation fixture rebate activity continues to be minimal through the winter, with no additional rebates. So staff is interested in ways to kickstart that, whether it's Title 19 or other methods that we haven't yet crafted. And then we provide a periodic update to the Morro Bay Wastewater Facility, and there's no specific action on that, but we provide a link to their project update. And the only other item not here in the written report is that we are beginning to think about recruitment for my position, and kind of get the word out there, and we'll be bringing back maybe a draft request for proposal that we can use. But I would love it if perhaps one of you could work with me on that as staff support to make sure I get the right language in there as we look to recruit, or if you have consultants or individuals that you think would be a good fit, that we have those on the list and reach out. So that concludes my report.
We already have somebody on our list that would be perfect.
Oh, good. Who's that?
I did have a question, though. I've been following the basin management boundaries. So, and I understand when I looked at the website, et cetera, that they were in accord with the recommendation, except with the deletion of that area on the northern boundaries. Right. But when I looked on the website, I couldn't find anything that explained why. So do you know why they're asking for the deletion of that area?
We do have the right staff person to answer this here. I don't mean to put you on the spot, Kathy, but if you have an answer to that, I would love to have you come up there and make sure that mic is on. And you got it.
Thank you. I'm Kathy Martin, Public Works County. So for the question, basically they said lack of scientific information for that small area. Basically it's 40 acres we were asking for, and there's a little bit of tidal fluctuation there, but they want more scientific data for that.
Okay. So it's supporting documentation that they're looking for.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
So will the county form a GSA for those areas? Is that the plan?
That'll be determined by DWR, the state, to see what's going to happen next.
Okay. Because there, as I understand it, there are no wells, there's no consumption, there's nothing happening there but birds flying.
Correct. It's open space, controlled by the state parks, from what I'm hearing.
So.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. We'll go to public comment on the executive director's report. Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment. Then we'll move on to the action items.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The first item on your agenda is the appointment of BMC officers for this calendar year. This is something that was pointed out to me that we need to do every year. So this, for the future year, should go on the January agenda, though there may not be a lot of discussion with it. Staff has provided an excerpt from your rules and regulations regarding the appointment of officers, and in case you all have forgotten what your role is, we provided that as well. Obviously, Chairperson Ohilski as chairperson, Director Zimmer as vice chair, Director Cody as secretary, replacing Bill Garfinkel, and then Director Gibson as treasurer. Obviously, these are not active officer roles at this point in the life of the committee, other than chair and vice chair, but staff was proposing to give you something to react to, that we keep the same slate of officers unless you have a desire to make adjustments.
Any questions?
Just regarding the replacement of your position, is that, you mentioned the recruitment process, is that going to be a formal recruitment process? Are we obligated to have a formal process for that, or are we going to you know, seek candidates that, that we feel would be best suited and come to a consensus on who is the best candidate to fill that role?
I think that's a good question. We'll probably need a little help from council on that. I was planning to have it be at least a formal RFP. It's professional services, so it's not like it's a public bid or anything like that. But
gotcha.
A professional services RFP that goes out to the general consulting community. But I know from personal experience, if you don't target specific
yeah.
people and consultants, the odds of you getting a good response is small.
Yeah. And so probably the best or one of the beginning steps is just the job description overall. What is the scope? Yeah. And is that where you were thinking you needed help or
and in the actual recruitment, if there are individuals that I don't have relationship with that
okay.
the parties represented here do, that you can tell them what a wonderful position it is and how rewarding it is.
And how big of shoes they have to fill.
Yeah.
And it's a time and materials contract. It's not going to involve any special subcontract that's signed or doesn't.
That's something we'll have to decide as we go through the process. I mean, what he is may not be what we end up going with the next person.
Oh, good point.
Okay.
I mean, that's subject to discussion. I mean, we just to give you an example, we just went through the process at LAFCO with hiring a new legal counsel, and we basically followed the same procedure that Rob was talking about. We
okay.
put together an RFQ or RFP, and then we made sure that certain parties or that we were interested in applying got notice of it. So yeah, I think it will be the same type of process.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's pretty well defined in the judgment what the duties of the executive director are, and they have all of our last few years of history well documented in the minutes, so they should just be able to go through that and have a good sense for how things go.
Okay. Well, if you need help with that, Golden State, whether it's staff or how we can help, just let us know.
Great. Yeah, I think we're all willing to help
yeah,
on that.
Yeah,
yeah, I am also willing to help. And so I assume that there'll be interviewing process and so on, which
yes.
may involve closed meetings. And
yes.
Okay.
And we'll come back and define the process at your next meeting. I've been thinking about it and suggest how we proceed.
Yeah. And Rob and I have been talking about it offline. So I think the idea was Rob would go ahead and lay out above and beyond what's in the bankruptcy settlement, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
Just lay out what he's been doing over the past few years as the parameters of what the job would consist of. And then I think we can sit down with him individually and give him input. And then at our next meeting, we'll go ahead and approve the actual RFQ, RFP for
okay.
distribution.
Okay.
I know when Rob presented this, we had calendar 2019 to take care of this. I know you're a little anxious, but
oh, I'm here through the rest of the year, all the way to the end. Absolutely.
Well, really, that's only 5 meetings, right?
So right.
We
yes.
don't
and I was planning on I'll still attend like the audience
yeah.
afterwards.
It'll still be a resource. Okay, and we'll get back to item 7A. Is there public comment on this particular item? Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the committee. So you have a staff recommendation, so what do you guys want to do?
I'll move staff's recommendation.
Second that.
Okay, motion second. I don't think we need a roll call, do we? All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Me too, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And I do.
Your continued service.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. No, I appreciate it. And Rob and I, when we were reviewing the bylaws and the rules and regulations for the organization, that's when we came upon this. And we do apologize that it was an oversight that this should have happened, you know, the last 2 years. But now we're back up to speed. Okay, Rob, we'll bring it back to you on item 7B.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Update on the status of the Basin Plan infrastructure projects.
We have a written update posted, but I'll go through some of the salient points here. On the district's upper aquifer well at 8th Street. We are in a little bit of a holding pattern on that, and the holding pattern is relates to the availability of grant funds, matching grant funds that we are highly ranked for, and we're expecting feedback at any time here in the next month or so as to when those matching funds will be available. To remind folks, that well is drilled and it's a bare casing sitting waiting for a pump, and we have construction documents that have been prepared, bid ready documents that are 100% ready to hit the street, and we're just waiting for that funding to become available, which we believe will be any time here. And so if that continues to lag, we'll have a district decision to make as to whether we just jump ahead and self-fund it, but it appears that it's going to happen this year for sure. So that's where we're at. There's about $125,000 riding on that decision, so it's not a minor decision. We do have under Program C quite an extensive update there. Those of you who have been following this issue know that under Program C, one well was previously developed by Golden State Water Company at their Los Olivos site. That well is fully in service and operating. A second expansion well is being pursued with a lead effort by the CSD for site selection. And we had a previous meeting where we went through each of the sites and talked about it in detail. But just to give an update to where that stands, the district board did authorize the preparation of a bid document to do a test well at the Los Osos Middle School site. And last time we indicated that had been awarded. That work has now been completed by CLEATH in draft form, and they're meeting with school district officials to talk about the nuts and bolts of when that actually gets drilled and how the logistics will work. But I do expect that at your next meeting, we will be out to bid on that test well, perhaps even with numbers back. We'll see how the timing goes. So that one's moving forward, and the hope is to get a test well in, see what kind of water resources are available at that site, report back on that before any additional steps are taken on that particular project. So that's where we sit on expansion well number two. In the column of parties involved, I took a shot at some clarifying language. Maybe it's satisfactory. If not, please let me know that LOCSD is currently leading the project with potential Golden State Water Company involvement depending on final location. And I would even add that if S&T desires some eventual involvement in that well, I didn't mean to leave you out there, that would be a possibility as well. But that's in front of us at some point. Let me see. On the Cuesta by the Sea monitoring well, we do have a hearing that's coming up. I do not expect that to be a controversial hearing. That's just in front of the county planning department as a minor use permit, so it doesn't even go to planning commission, and that's happening on February 1st. So as we come back next time, we should have, if it goes well, a well that has a land use permit associated with it and be past any appeal period if nobody appeals that decision. And we have included in the draft budget the implementation cost for that well. And then on to the program U, the Creek Discharge Program for Urban Water Reinvestment. And we do have, again, a budget item to advance the first steps on that project through baseline monitoring and the analysis of soil aquifer treatment. So that's an overview of what you see in your staff report, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Go ahead.
I do have a question. Thank you for making the comment about including S&T in the possible expansion well number two under Program C. Definitely, I think S&T would like to be considered, or we'd like to have an option to possibly get a share of that well, the water that comes from that well, as well as the item called Community Nitrate Removal Facility in Program B. I see that that also, you took a shot at that, parties involved are the CSD and Golden State Water. And S&T also is interested in participating in a community nitrate removal facility.
Thank you.
You know, or the opportunity, we'll say. I can't speak for our board, but I definitely, we'd like the opportunity to participate.
Great. Appreciate that.
So just so I'm clear on the progression of the well in Program C, so right now we're going to do the test well. We've that's fully funded through the district at this point. And so the district secured funding to initiate this project. And then is it dependent on the location whether the other purveyors will contribute to this project, or is it yet to be determined? I mean, you know, and the reason why I ask is because I just want to stay ahead of the project so that I can align Golden State in a position to participate or not. But so I'm just trying to more or less understand what is our next step and when will that timing come. I know you mentioned the test well and some decisions will be made. We'll bring it back to the board after that point. But do you know if the district is, or can you comment if the district is had any thought or is in a position to fully fund that well themselves?
Yes,
at this point?
I can. We did a rate analysis. Boy, I guess it's last year. I'm losing track of how long ago it was. I think it was last April, where we looked at capital projects going forward. The full funding for that well was included as a potential capital project. So the district has rates in place that would support the funding of that well, just as you had rates to support your expansion well. So if necessary, we didn't want to preclude participation by other parties, but if necessary, the district would be in a position to do that. Although that decision is in front of them, they have rates that could support it.
Right, and I mean, basically, until we know what we're doing, that decision hasn't been finalized at this point.
Right. Okay. Right.
So and the idea is just the test well would be drilled, and then we'd have an idea how we're going to proceed.
Sure.
And then that will go back through, at that point, it'll go back through this committee and back through the board, and then we'll have some idea at that point. But we're talking probably, I know you're being you may be a little optimistic here with completed in quarter one or early quarter two, but, you know, once that gets approved, or once we get the results of that, then we'll have to sit down and talk about it.
Agreed.
Okay. Sounds good.
Great.
I have one additional question about this project list, and it comes in the form of a request or maybe a don't you think that we should kind of a comment. Since we're also thinking about replacing your function and in an effort to leave somebody well who's going to take over your position, I believe it might be appropriate. Right now we have a list of projects, but there are also several tasks that are being tracked that aren't on this list because they aren't really full-blown projects. And I have two examples, but I think it's good for the committee to track these tasks someplace and also to create a process where we're tracking those tasks. The two tasks that I can think of are, one of them is the investigation of a suspected chloride metric measurement problem down in the Cuesta by the Sea. And this is mentioned in the report that we're reviewing, the CHG report. Another one is reevaluation of the water level metric target based on what's going to be a new survey of well elevations out on the sand spit. There must be dozens of these small tasks that we don't really discuss at the committee level here, but I think that it might be good for us to have these listed in a place perhaps like this on this project report.
Director Cody, I agree. I think that would be a good transitional document so that someone who doesn't have the history could come in and begin managing those tasks. We often track them with the annual report process as we make recommendations year to year and then address those in the report cycle. But I think having those explicitly stated so you know where the progress is, I think is a good idea. I think we should do that.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. We'll go to public comment on this item. Okay. Seeing now, we'll close public comment and bring it back. So I think we've provided input to staff for future action. Is there any additional input that anybody likes to provide?
Input on this?
Right.
No, I think I'm good.
Okay. We'll move on, Rob, to 7C.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Item 7C is an ongoing discussion of a draft memorandum that was prepared by Cleith Harris geologists on the Los Osos Basin metric trends and also the infrastructure program C evaluation, which is a mouthful. I think a better short description of this memo is really a focus on what infrastructure under Program C do we need to implement in order to balance the basin under our current development that's here in the community. A draft report was released, and then a modified report at your last meeting that clarified some of the language. The district has had a number of discussions internally with this organization through its Utilities Advisory Committee and then through the district board. Those discussions ultimately resulted in a letter that's attached to your staff note and also posted on the web where we had recommendations from the board on changes to the memo that were suggested. We've reviewed those with Cleith Harris, and they're prepared to, depending on your actions today, to go ahead and incorporate those clarifications into the report, and we're hoping that in the March meeting we can come back with what we hope is a final version of that report sort of ready to go. And thank you for those. I prodded you for some additional editorial comments, received some very good input from S&T Mutual, and we have those comments, which we're also able to work through with Cleith to further clean up the language, make sure it's very clear, and that references are provided for each of the older reports and sites that may not be familiar to the uninitiated audience. I thought today would be a good time for any other broad discussions in response to the district's draft memo. I know this particular report has quite a bit of public interest, which I think you'll probably hear with some public comment on this particular matter. And then staff would suggest that if there are no other comments other than those already received and transmitted here in this district letter, that you allow staff to go ahead and wrap up a final version of this for your March meeting just in time for inclusion in the annual report process. That would be our desire. So be happy to answer any questions or listen to the discussion.
Any questions before public comment?
None from me. I have a comment.
Well, you want to wait till after. You might as well wait till after public comment,
okay,
unless you want.
Okay, let's do it like that.
I just had a question, and the letter from the CSD is appended is from your utilities committee. Is that the position of the board?
Yes,
is that
the board approved this.
The board adopted that. Okay. They don't. None of it seems substantive.
It's mainly
no. It's clarification. It's clarification.
Strengthen the document.
Yeah,
not
I don't
substantive.
See any issues with it.
So. Okay, we'll go to public comment then on this item. Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back. I'm going to speak for the district because there was some clarifications that we felt were important to be made because it was unclear not only to our district, but based on some of the comments that we heard at the workshop that we had in August and then at this committee meeting. So we were just trying to make some clarifications there as to make sure that when people were reading this that didn't have a high level of involvement, that they were able to understand this, looking at it basically from a layperson's perspective. So that was really the intent of the comments from the district. So, and I, Rob was at the meeting, so you know exactly where we're coming from on that. Okay, now, Charlie, I'll give it to you.
Yeah, I just, I love the idea of adaptive management, and this is potentially something that is perhaps even more important than the exercise we go through to create the annual report that has conclusions that everybody is very interested in, the executive summary of the annual report. The adaptive management program is an opportunity to take a look at what we're doing and possibly make changes to the methods that we have that are described in the basin plan. And I don't want to, I just want to say that I believe that I would prefer as we go forward that we begin to take the nitrate concentrations that are trending in an increasing manner through all of our wells, upper aquifer and lower aquifer, and treat them with more weight, you know, something similar to seawater intrusion. I know that's not the way the basin plan is written, but I think adaptive management speaks of making some changes to the way that we do things, and it's an opportunity to do some of that. And that's my comment.
Mr. Chair, if I could, I have been, as many of you have been, reviewing the nitrate data sets that hit not only our shallow wells, but also several of our deep wells. And we talk about borehole leakage or regional leakage. But I know from the district's perspective, we do have some facilities that are at least affected by nitrate, if not hindered, in how much we can produce from them, even in the lower zones. So in your next item, the budget discussion, we made sure to budget some dollars to do this type of adaptive management study going forward into the rest of this calendar year. And I think if we're looking for issues that are not fully understood or addressed, the movement of nitrate and the predictive tools necessary to see what the trends are, I think is one target we might point that adaptive management at, because it is affecting, I think, on some level, all three of the purveyors.
Yeah. And if I might, Mr. Chairman, you know, I think the thing with the nitrates is that it's a counter, it's an unexpected trend that we're seeing there. I don't think we have a mechanism to understand it at this point. So what I hear you saying is let's understand the physics of what's going on. Then we can talk about what we need to do about it. Right. I mean, the problem with seawater intrusion is clear, and we understand that, and we understand what to do about it. This, you know, this could be a variety of things, and it could be a transient effect involved with the changes in the flow in the upper aquifer as we pump recycled water to Broderson. It could be, you know, I've thought it could be flushing of nitrate-contaminated water in toward the monitoring wells, and it may very well resolve. It should resolve itself. But, you know, as we watch it, I think there is a reasonable case to be made that we start trying to understand its source. You know, right now it's not clear what at all, if anything, to do about it. So.
Yeah, well said. I agree. Right.
Yeah, and like Rob said, it is in the budget for the upcoming year. So the adaptive management, I think it's a critical. I think we all agree that it's a critical component.
I agree.
Is that it? Okay, Rob, back to you.
Great. I think at this point we'll take this as board encouragement to move forward and finalize this memo. We'll be back to you a redline version incorporating the CSD's comments, some of the editorial comments that S&T has provided. And if there's anything else, this is your chance. Get it to staff, and we'll bring this back in March, hopefully to adopt this as a final work product of the committee. Thank you very much.
Okay, so then we'll move on to 7D, the adoption of the Basin Management Committee annual budget.
So, thank you, Rob. Mr. Chair. I did note that in the subject of the staff report, my boyhood confusion of B and D pointing in different directions raised itself, and it's listed as B, but obviously it's 7D. And this is your annual budget, which you do every January. You also had a little preview of this in November at your last meeting, and it's basically a simple budget with a number of different line items, many of which are quite familiar to you. I did want to highlight a few things that I think would be of general interest, and I've bulleted these out, but I thought I'd talk about them briefly. Administration, you know, we'll be doing that service hopefully for the remainder of the year. We've been able to keep that within that $50,000 assigned budget, and so you should be good for this year, and next year you'll have a consultant to provide some feedback as to whether that's a sufficient budget. That does include the creation of the detailed minutes, and so just so you know where those services lie, as well as kind of general pushing the projects forward. And then similar to last year, we do have an adaptive management line item, and you'll see that as
line four.
And that is broken up into two expenses. One is wellhead surveying, and we've got at least one very competitive proposal from a local surveyor to do that for $5,000 to survey about 17 wells. GPS goes a long way to making that much more cost-effective than it used to be. And then also we've assigned $10,000 for adaptive management studies, and so we'll be looking to define what the best targets for those efforts would be. And then for the preparation of the annual report, the way we've been doing the annual report cycle is the executive summary of the previous year's report will have issues that we're seeking to resolve but remain unresolved. And one of the key that you've heard quite a bit about, the key issues, is the borehole leakage through the aquifer from upper to lower. And that is an issue that we made sure to include sufficient dollars to further address the uncertainties associated with that in this annual report cycle, as well as continuing to quantify uncertainty where we can, not just saying it's uncertain, but trying to quantify. So you'll see this ongoing process of improving our annual reports year to year. And so it's about 12% more than what we proposed for last year, but we do think it's a good value for the community and suggest its adoption. We do have some continued grant pursuit dollars in there, and then we have a number of projects that are either, I would say they're project related, implementation related, and one is the monitoring well that you're familiar with, but also pursuing further conservation through septic tank repurposing and perched stormwater recovery and creek discharge, these project-related items. We produced this 2019 work plan in November, and subsequent to that, I understand there was quite a few discussions at the county staff level, and I've got some feedback from county staff on this particular issue that I wanted to talk a little bit about. Specifically, that if you flip to the budget, and maybe I can even spend just a minute and get this up on the screen. And flip down.
It's actually page 49 of the packet.
Oh, great. Thank you.
49 and 58. I'm looking at the same page.
Thank you for that. It's too small to see, but I'll speak very descriptively. So the county has expressed some concern with those projects that they view as implementation of projects. And really this harkens back to the judgment when we talked about how the responsibilities of the BMC would flow through to our annual report process, our monitoring, our administration, and then implementation of projects. And what they're seeing is that while the funding for the administrative side, the annual reports, the monitoring is very clear and more cut and dry, as we get into project efforts, the judgment contemplates that we'd have subsequent discussions on things like a joint powers arrangement or another funding source for those types of efforts. And we've put our funding vote on hold given the situation here in the community and have not pursued that beyond that initial year. So to make a long story short, staff is going to suggest that we need to have more time to discuss those project implementation items, but we don't want to delay our normal routine, which includes adaptive management, annual report, and monitoring. So in the desire to achieve some action today, if the committee so chooses, I wanted to show a potential adjusted budget. In this one, I increased the font size.
Really, on the original page you were showing, it amounts to pulling off lines 8, 9, and 10, right?
Yeah. And so the items that we would actually fund would include items 1 through 7 in this budget. And like in previous years, these items would not be funded until they are approved by your respective boards. In the case of the two public agencies that we have represented here. And so we learned in that first year or two that giving CLEATH only 60 days to produce a draft annual report was insufficient. And so we suggest that you approve this budget, items 1 through 7, contingent on receiving approval from the member agencies, and that you bring back a further discussion of the remaining budget items prior to adopting those. And what we would like to do is have a chance for staff-to-staff discussions, particularly among the legal folks who know the stipulation well, and to see if we can find a way forward on those more project implementation items this calendar year. So that's let me say that one more time just so it's clear. So staff is suggesting that you approve items 1 through 7, contingent on approval by your member governing boards, and that you direct staff to have subsequent discussion on the remaining items and bring those back for subsequent action. And so that's what we're recommending.
So one item is item 11, the conservation component of it. Is that included with 1 through 7, or is that left out also?
I think it's left out because that was more focused on kind of implementation side of subject. Yeah.
So you're amending the recommendation here that we go ahead and adopt a budget, but only lines 1 through 7.
I am.
Okay. I did have a question on what is number 9, which I guess we're not going to be approving, but I'd still like to get some clarification there. It does talk about in the comment line or column, well ownership to be determined prior to construction. I know what we're talking about there, but you might want to clarify that.
Yeah, so the implementation of a fixed improvement like a monitoring well is something that this committee has not done yet. And when you have joint contribution to these facilities, who will own the actual monitoring well? We presume that a public agency should own it because it's going to be in on the fringes of county right-of-way. It's outside the paved surface, but it's in the right-of-way. A public agency would be able to retain some of those rights going forward easier than a you know, mutual water company or a PUC-regulated utility. And so that's going to be the suggestion, but we've not resolved that. I think the district would be willing to consider owning that facility.
Well, what I wanted to clarify, I guess, was that, and we've talked about this in the past, and everybody was here except for Charlie, but the committee cannot own this. It has to be owned by one of the purveyors.
Right. Unless we form a joint
power. JPA. Right.
Yeah. Right, exactly. I just wanted to make sure that was clear to everybody.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I just thank Rob for his willingness to come by and chat with county staff on this, and I think we have a reasonable solution here by going forward with those things that are obvious and clear. The project, those things that touch on projects, understand the county is fully supportive, but there are constraints that we operate under, and we're also looking at things like what the county in-kind contribution to this has been as we've been using staff. So I think in a very short time we can come to a reasonable agreement. But this does suggest somewhere down the line, and maybe this year, that a more full discussion of the full financial requirements of the efforts we're undertaking would be good. And, you know, we were headed down one path that might have led to a special assessment going out over the adjudicated area, and right now that's on hold. The LOCSD has done one thing. Golden State, of course, has its issues with the PUC. S&T's on its own time frame. And then the question hangs over whether it makes any sense to form a JPA, and it may or may not in terms of the efficiency of getting these things done. So, again, I think this is a really efficient way forward, and understand the county is committed to a timely resolution on these other matters, and we'll look forward to talking about them soon.
Yeah, and regarding the JPA, that's something that we've talked about, and we decided not to pursue that for a number of different reasons.
And it hasn't, the case for doing it hasn't presented itself to date, and it may never. That's a lot of work, and quite probably something we want to avoid if we can get things done in another way.
Right. That, when we were forming the Basin Management Committee, those of us that were involved, that was one of the things that we discussed. Was a JPA, and that was decided it was not a viable or it was
desirable.
Not something, yeah, desirable. It was excuse me, it was viable. It was just because of where we were going, it didn't seem like it would be worthwhile to go through the expense and process. So, Charlie?
Yeah, I guess I'd like some clarification, since I wasn't involved personally in those discussions, is the discussion about the forming a JPA dead because it's been vetoed as untenable by one of the parties, or is it just is it less than that?
No, it was because of the complexity of it, and at the time it didn't seem that any of the parties were really, interested, or we really didn't need to do it at that point in time.
Okay.
But it's still, it's not something that we've said we would never pursue. It was just something that we decided not to pursue at that time.
Okay. I think as we're going forward, things may be changing a little bit. Now we have something called a community nitrate removal project, and we're discussing this second program, Seawell, as if it's possibly a community resource also. So I wouldn't mind revisiting that, actually. Unless it's just been vetoed out of hand by one of the...
Well, let's get a little opinion from our legal counsel for discussion at next meeting. How's that?
Great. And we'll maybe bring back some sense for the cost. I don't know what the world's simplest JPA costs, but it's probably not cheap.
We had an extensive pro and con on it, right. And the cons significantly outweighed the pros. And it looked like formal or informal cooperation outside the structure of a GPA, especially with the three water purveyors, was a much more efficient way of doing it.
Is there a document that was produced from those discussions that I could read?
It'd be in our minutes for that early, that first year. And let me look at that for you and see if I can dig that up.
Okay.
It'd be posted.
I was probably there. I think I've only missed one of these meetings. Yeah. So I was...
Maybe it was prejudgment. I don't remember.
I think it was prejudgment, to tell you the truth. I'm 99% sure.
So we didn't put it in the judgment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think you're right.
I'd like to see if there's any documentation about that.
And if not, we can produce a little presentation and bring it back.
Yeah, I remember when we were having the conversations at Wallace Group that was one of the things that we talked about in detail. So that was prior to the judgment, I believe.
Yeah.
You agree with that, Bruce?
That's my recollection.
Yeah. Of course. Anyway, all right.
One final comment. Just we were talking about the quest to buy the sea monitoring well, and we do have funding for that. Is the funding that we have available for the design, environmental, planning of that well? Is that so? This additional funding would be for the construction of it. Is that
correct? You're essentially done with the design. We've got the document. You're going to hearing. There's a little time.
Drill a hole in the well.
Yeah.
Drill here.
Yeah. It's as long as if it got appealed, then there'd probably be additional staff time, but you're essentially complete with that phase, and now you're on to the implementation phase.
Would that be a project that could potentially get some outside funding from some grant or as a project that's ready to go that we could apply for some grant funding?
We can absolutely apply.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it for me. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll take public comment on this item. Pardon me. With the understanding that the staff report has been amended to delete lines 8 through 9, or pardon me, 8 through 11, pardon me. So it's only 1 through 7 that we'd be approving today. Okay. No, at the bottom there.
In front of the stand. There you go.
No, I thought I had that. Sorry. I wanted to speak to, as long as we're talking about budgets, one, I was curious, you talked about with the conservation programs, you said septic tank repurposing. How many of those do you expect? Because all the ones that were recently done and funded by other, they got grants to basically have theirs done, they sealed theirs up. So I don't see that is a much of a potential unless you were talking about the ones that the CSD is emptying right now. They're the large ones from Bay Ridge Estates. Those could have potential to store water. The CSD has discussed that. I don't think we're going there, but at this point that may still be. But I would take septic tank repurposing out of conservation because pretty much it's over and done with. Do you know how many were repurposed? I don't think we even have the answer to that question. So, and I wanted to know if we could see something like how well this recycled water, once it starts going to the schools and starts cutting back from going to Broderson and whatever other purposes. I want the dry land farmer. I think there's one contract that needs to be removed because that does not help. That does not match the criteria for recycled water delivery. But I'd like to see where that's going to go because, you know, we could possibly put it in the creek someday. But at this point, I think that would be helpful to see where water is going to be spread around. And I haven't heard any talk of that. Another suggestion that I have would be to look into creating a basin model. A 3D model. We talked about maybe computer 3D technology might be able to take the mapping that you already have of the different layers of aquifer and put them in, and then add the. I want to see where those 500 private wells are. I believe we still need to be looking at how much it would cost to put meters on them to see what quantity is coming out of them. Otherwise, you really have no picture. You have no idea what is in this basin or being removed. So a basin model would have show the water districts, all the private wells, the purveyor wells. It would show the upper aquifer wells with blending from the nitrate areas. It could show the seawater intrusion lines, how they change. And I think that would be a very worthwhile thing for everybody in this community to be able to get a better grip. We can look at all the flat diagrams we want, but it's still very confusing, and I don't think that that would be so hard. I know when we had that sewer in the middle of town thing going, they spent, I think, $25,000 for a model. So, but I would suggest that we look at putting some money aside for that. And I think that was all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. You just made your 3 minutes. Perfect. Any other comments? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment, bring it back.
Mr. Chair, if I could. So I heard the comment on the septic tank repurposing. That was just one possible use, and perhaps that wouldn't be the best use on that conservation line item. Last year we used it to produce some flyers, hold a public workshop, and so this committee would be the one to determine what that gets used for. I didn't have a specific bent there. I don't know that we have a count for how many septic tanks actually were repurposed. I know many were cleaned and closed, myself included, but not data on the repurposing. And then as far as the management of recycled water, I do think that the plan is, now that we have recycled water agreements in place, that we can begin tracking as soon as the school retrofits are ready, the volumes that get delivered to the schools. And I would present that in my executive director's report. We'd summarize it in the annual report and begin tracking those recycled water quantities. I think that's a good comment. A basin model would be great. I would love to find a way to do that. Wouldn't it be cool just to be able to lift off layer by layer here in the front? Maybe that, I don't know if Cal Poly, if John Jasminsek is here, but whether we can get a Cal Poly class to work with us to maybe with the 3D printing technology that we have to do something like that. But I'm going to keep that in mind. It'd be pretty cool to have it. But that's all the comments I have.
Okay. Anything else, or can we have a motion?
I'll move the amended budget recommendation.
Second. Is there a second?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Okay, a second. Any more discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, passes 4-0. Okay, item 7E, Rob, the approval of proposals for hydrological services for calendar year 2019 to be provided by Cleith Harris Geologists.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the same item that we had last year, where in the January meeting, in order to provide additional time for the consultant to prepare the annual report, we seek approval of these proposals on a contingent basis. So if you did choose to approve them today, you would make that contingent on the member agencies approving the budget that you acted on in your last item. So we've solicited and reviewed the proposals from Cleith. We talked a little bit about the new items that were included this year, the analysis of borehole leakage, the review of uncertainties, and that those will be now incorporated into this draft annual report, which we try to submit to the court by the end of June, just to remember the cycle that we're on here. And normally, and I'll let Bruce and Chairperson Ohilski comment on the schedule for their member agencies, but I think it took us about 30 to 45 days to get confirmation from the various parties that the budget was approved, and Cleith was able to get going in towards the end of February. So that was enough time last year to produce a draft report, get it to the committee, and so that's what we're seeking to do today. So staff recommendation to approve these proposals contingent on action on the budget by the members, and be happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, just to answer that question, the CSD would take it to our board meeting in February. So,
perfect. And that's in the second?
The first Thursday.
First Thursday, so that'll be quick.
So, and is that because your fiscal year allows that? I don't understand. So you discuss your budget in February?
No, we discuss our budget in May and June.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but they do project.
We're funded into the first half of this calendar year, which is the second half of our fiscal year.
Okay. Right.
And so there's some comfort in there, although these other numbers were not expected. I'll just turn to staff and they can nod, is that we have enough to cover administrative expenses through the end of our fiscal year.
Well, and these are included in our budget as projections from the past, right. So it's not something that's new. So
right.
If we went from, and I'm just picking a number, from 100,000 to 400,000, then we would have an issue. But right. Since we're within the parameters that we budgeted in our budget process.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so we're the same way at S&T Mutual. So we approve a budget. We're mandated by the state of California to approve a budget before the end for 2019, before the end of the previous fiscal year.
Right.
And so we've already approved our budget for 2019 as we're discussing now this budget. Okay. And I agree with you that we're likely to be fine because our right. projections were good. Okay. But the process, well, I'm okay with the process, just a little odd. It's inconvenient if we had expenditures that went beyond our guesses.
Right. Well, can't happen because you all control those expenditures. So I tried to give you some early warning in November of what's coming. So if we really had issues with those, but we can, everyone's on a different budget cycle. I forget what Golden State's on.
That was what I was going to point out. That's where the complexity is.
There's no good time.
Because we're on a July through the end of June fiscal year, and so it just, we have to make the best we can out of what we do. So that's why we take the budget projection, and then we include that in our budget. And then as long as there's not a major outlier, like I said, then we're fine. If there is, then it's something we have to deal with.
And I think it would be, if you have individual budgets that you are preparing and need early feedback from staff, we'd be happy to provide that to the best of our ability and try not to surprise you 60 days later.
So one question, if I could, Mr. Chairman. What do we expect the time frame for evaluating the well bore leakage, if any, chloride metric question?
They're proposing to do that as part of that first draft, which last year we had it before you in May.
Well, we have to have this by the court deadline. So,
yeah, draft in May, revision with discussion in early June, and then, if necessary, special meeting at the end of June.
I'd just like to get that. I mean, we just have to get that resolved.
Yeah.
You know, that's basic measuring the stuff, and we got to figure out what's going on, and if there's a problem, correct it and get on with our lives. So,
thank you for bringing that.
I'm interested in that being as soon as reasonably possible.
And is that funded?
With these budgets?
Yes. Okay, yes. Very good.
Okay, we'll go to public comment then on this item. Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment and bring it back.
I'm always willing to move staff's recommendation once we've figured it out.
Well, and I want to make it crystal clear to everybody, this is contingent upon the agencies approving the funding. So, all right, Rob, or pardon me.
Yeah, I'll move we approve these with the direction given to staff.
Okay. I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Boy, we're moving along today. My computer decided to die on me. So we have public comment on items not appearing on the agenda. Before we go there, I would just like to back up with a question that I know that there's some interest in this question, but the discussion was about the entering into the contracts for the distribution of the water. Could maybe somebody, just for the record and for the public, explain which contracts were entered into and where they were?
I can speak to the district contract. I certainly have a...
Well, I was talking about the county.
Okay.
Well, yeah, and staff can correct me if I'm wrong. We have signed the agreements between the county and the LOCSD, between the county and Golden State, between the county and S&T, and we've also made the necessary amendments to the what's called the tri-party agreement that allows eventually recycled water to be used on Sea Pines Golf Course. And I think that was all that was in that package. Is that correct?
All right. I just wanted to clarify that for the record so everybody could understand what contracts were signed, because I wasn't clear on it either. Okay, now we'll go to public comment for items not appearing on the agenda.
Steve Best, I just wanted to thank Rob for all your work and Lysistis and Baywood Park. Give you a good grant. And I want to follow up on Charlie's comment about the having a special or something that would include all the tasks and chart projects, and so that we can look at the big picture. And where our money is spent, and so people can have a comprehensive picture of where we are with our, and where we can, sorry about that. I think your idea of tasks and projects and other things that we have in our agenda, so that we can, everybody can see where we're at, where we're spending our money is at, and maybe have an opportunity to track and make a maybe more I can't swear. We are spending our money, and so I think that's a good. People don't know where all these other loose ends going all the time. We need to give it the big picture. I think that's a good idea.
Thank you.
Lindy Owen again. Two subjects I spoke about earlier, but I would like to know, is maybe Mr. Gibson can tell us if the county is still honoring a contract with a dry land farmer. And if so, we need to understand how that offsets any saltwater intrusion. I understand that there is one that remains. I also understand that the community paid to put pipes up to their property, and I object completely to the fact that that cost us, the sewer ratepayers, money when the basin got zero improvement from it. We're not trying to just dump water and get rid of it. We're trying to put it into recycled use and offsetting ground pumping. And I guess this goes to Mr. Gibson and the county also. How much would it cost to monitor the 500 private wells, to put just quantity meters on them and do the reading each year? When I look down on the budget from last year, it looks like the CSD and the Golden State both spend $112,000 on this basin management. The county spends $58,000. almost 59,000. To me, that would mean that you could possibly begin the direction towards trying to get meters, quantity meters, on these private wells, or at least the ones that you know that are the highest users. Again, somebody explained to me how if you have 500 straws in that are not accounted for, how you know how much water is in your basin and how much is coming out. It is impossible to do a basin management plan without knowing how much water is coming out of those wells. So I would appreciate knowing how much it would cost. I've looked myself, and it's like $1,200 for a well monitor, and then you'd have to have the reading. I don't know if it can be a GPS or, you know, that kind of a reading, but I do think that's the direction the entire state of California is going, and I think that we need to be one of the innovators to actually be able to do that so that we have the correct input. We are now building houses outside the basin area, you know, and there's a push to get more of those houses built, but until we know how much water we have, we are not supposed to be doing that. So anyway, I would appreciate if we can address the 500 wells and the dry land farmers not receiving any water. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name's Ed Van Fleet. I live on Napoleon Street. I hadn't planned on addressing this. However, I have a private well, and I consider myself a water borrower, not a water user. I pull the water out of my well, it goes into my house, it goes into my septic tank, right back into the aquifer. In fact, if you put a meter on my well and you put a meter on my septic tank, it would probably come out, I am a positive, because I have about 40,000 square feet of property that the rainwater falls on and perks into, unlike people who are on a small lot. So my contention is, putting a meter on people, residential people as myself, is a complete waste of money, and people don't understand the usage. We are not water users. We are just water borrowers. Unlike somebody that is on commercial water, your water comes from maybe 2 miles away, then it goes into the sewage system. It's trucked, or it's...
You need to address us, not the audience, okay?
All right. Well, the audience needs to know this as well. And then it goes to the sewage plant where it's processed, transported someplace else for disposal. So my water travels maybe 100 feet, and it goes right back into the aquifer. I create a very small carbon footprint. And to try to monitor private wells of people, residential wells, is not warranted. And the people that are advocating don't understand that. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Good afternoon, Barry Brannon. We're all talking about a basin with water and talking about putting more straws and measuring the straws that are in the basin in the water. But really the only solution to providing adequate water for build out for the people we have is to capture the stormwater. And I don't know if I can show it to you or not, but here's a picture of Warden Lake. They said they could maybe put this on a camera. This is Warden Lake when it floods. And there is... you take all of the water usage in Los Osos, and that's only 10% of the water that runs out and flushes out Warden Lake. If you did some stormwater recapture that we've talked about, and the simple way to do it, you have a sewage treatment plant there with some good pumps, and the distance from Warden Lake to the sewage treatment plant maybe 100 yards. So on the days when you have a lot of water, and it comes, you can pump the excess water and run it up the Broaders and then recharge the aquifer. But until you get new water in this basin, in this teacup, you're never going to solve the problem just because of the evaporative factor. We all know that the cycles on the storms this year, we have some rain. We're up to average, they say. This was in 2010. And when the water runs across the roads on my ranch, 6 feet deep, that's how much water excess. It's bizarre to have it come down and wash out Turry Road. I don't know if you've seen Turry Roads washed out, but that's caused by the excess water that's not being managed. So water, stormwater recapture is really the only solution to the water in this area, and we can measure wells, meters everywhere. But until you get some new water in this basin, the problem has to be is not going to be solved. And I don't hear any conversation. There's one little item you talk about in your thing, and you say, no, we're not going to even look at stormwater. That should be probably the primary goal for the coming years, to find new water. If you read the early reports, they said the USGS, in their report, says, well, you had two choices, capture the stormwater or bring a pipeline over from the state water project. Well, the state water pipe is very expensive, but stormwater capture is not very expensive. And I see the chairman looking down. I guess he's not interested. Thank you.
I was watching my clock because your time was running out.
Good afternoon. Chuck Cecenia. I'm representing the Los Osos Community Services District, not just the Utilities Committee. I wanted to talk about the recycled water distribution. Now that contracts are in place with the school districts and the users here in town, where we actually have saltwater mitigation intrusion value for those uses, maybe it's time to refocus and actually finish the discussion that started, I believe, with Rob, one of your memos about a year ago. There was just a brief comment in it about maybe it's time for the county to update us on the status of those contracts with the dryland farmers. Mark Hutchinson, ex-county public works director, wrote a long memo talking about why it would be imprudent to back out of those contracts. 6 months ago, the CSD responded to that letter with a letter to the county, essentially addressing each point and pointing out that none of those contracts has any saltwater mitigation intrusion value, not a bit, which is why we kind of wanted the Cleith Harris report to include those values. A month ago, I dropped those letters off at the Board of Supervisors again during public comment, but only speaking as a private citizen. I thought maybe this would be the avenue to further that discussion since it started here. If it needs to be agendized, I'll dig out all the past letters and we can put them all out there. I just thought maybe a quick update would be appropriate. Are we going to send water outside the essentially the basin to dry land farmers where there's no saltwater mitigation value? We have plenty of places to use that water. Every drop of water coming from the plant is handled by right now Bay Ridge and the Broderson leach fields, and we've got the contracts with the schools and everything coming in that do have high saltwater intrusion mitigation values. So how do we get an update? How do we get a response to that letter? What's next? Do we have to agendize it? Could we just get a brief update? And I'm addressing that to the chair because that's protocol. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close the public comment. Rob, do you have a response? I have a couple of questions that follow up. So,
I didn't have any formal response. Thank the public for their excellent comments.
Okay.
I do know the cost of meters if anyone's interested in the technical aspects of that.
Well, no, I was just going to bring up about the well monitoring, and we've discussed this every time it's come up. I mean, that's under the purview of the county, not this committee. So if the county wants to make a requirement for monitoring or metering, that's up to you guys. And I know the county code right now says that all new wells will be metered, but there's nothing in there about existing wells. But just for info, and I know, Linda, you know that, but it's under the purview of the county. So I had a question, and this is probably kind of, I don't know if we're prepared to answer it or not, but my understanding is that one of the contracts for the Dryland Farmers is with the owner of Warden Lake. Is that correct, or is that?
I don't know the detail on that, okay. Mr. Chair.
Because if the contract with the Dryland Farmers is with that owner, then it seems to me the opportunity to use the lake is already there. So that's something I'd like us to look into for the meeting next month or our next meeting. I was told that, and I appreciate the picture that you showed. I know the people on the TV won't be able to see that, but that was my understanding that may be happening, and I'm not familiar with who has the lake control and who has the dry land contracts, but that's something, the question was raised at our meeting, the CSD meeting last week, so I just wanted to bring that up.
I can confirm that you can stand in Warden Lake and hit a golf ball into the wastewater plant if you need to. It's not that far.
As long as you can hit it straight.
I was going to say, it's not a 300-yard drive or something like that.
So anyway, those are the, I would just like to have that come back so we can understand that, because if that's a possibility, then I think it's something that we need to look into. And then we are, Chuck mentioned, he was speaking for the CSD, so we do have some concerns about that. So I'm going to put that on the agenda for next meeting so we can discuss that to get an update on that. So I think that's all I have. So does anybody have any other comments, or we'll adjourn?
I'll just finish briefly, if I might, Mr. Chairman. The county is certainly supportive of any effective and efficient use of water, whether it be stormwater, treated effluent, and certainly the groundwater. I'll just comment briefly that Mr. Hutchinson wrote an extensive discussion of why recycled water is going where it's going, and it depends on constraints that we have for the permit of the wastewater treatment plant. I'm not sure at this point exactly how many potentially active ag reuse contracts we might be considering, but I know that we're getting closer to that, and in the coming months as they get closer to us, we certainly are going to deploy the water as efficiently and effectively as we can, consistent with the requirements that we have of the wastewater treatment permit. So, and again, I refer you back to Mr. Hutchinson's memo, which, as I remember it, I don't have it with me right now, but as I remember it, is definitive in what the constraints are. So I'd be happy to discuss that with you, Mr. Chairman, as a representative of the district at any point, and we'll move forward on the most effective path that we can.
Right. I appreciate that. Charlie, do you have something?
Yeah, I think
Mr. Zimmer's already passed, so it's up to you.
No, he did. Okay. I guess I'd like to reiterate a little bit of what we heard here, just to make sure it doesn't get passed. But there are at least two issues here that are interesting: the metering of private wells possibility, and the delivery of recycled water to dry land farms are examples. We were a board of people charged with managing the water basin, and we have one member who represents the county, the operator of the wastewater treatment plant. I think that the basin, the way I understand this, the Basin Management Committee could make recommendations to the county, but we can't mandate things happen, these two issues here, for instance. And so there's perhaps some confusion about how this committee would be involved in that, and we continually hear people come up and bring these issues forward to us as if we're going to solve these problems. And so maybe we should spend a moment here and discuss what the BMC's responsibility is relative to these kinds of things, which are ultimately decisions to be made by the county, but are definitely basin management issues.
And, Mr. Chair, before we get too deep into
discussion. I don't
discussion,
want to go in, yeah, because right? It's not agendized.
But we can certainly bring that back on.
Right, that's what I had suggested originally, was we bring this back next month. So.
Can we put that discussion on? Could we add that discussion to an agenda? It'd be nice to clarify right. this, and I think it'd be great for the public that comes to these meetings to hear that discussion.
No, and that was my intent, to have a more broad-ranging discussion next meeting of all these issues that keep coming up. So, but Rob and I will work on that when we work out the agenda. So, okay, with that, then we'll go ahead and adjourn. Oh, next meeting date?
We believe will be the third Wednesday in March.
Yes, we will meet in March because we will need to move forward with the budget, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you.